Certainly a bright spot in a tough week to have, be able to celebrate our second graders and give them Bibles and also celebrate Scout Sunday. God has entrusted us with some incredible treasure here at Advent. Amen. And it is a great privilege to be able to not only be able to be a part of our children's lives as they grow in faith, but also to see them lead us, because we are firmly convinced that our children aren't just the church of the future, they're the church of today. And we see them leading in all kinds of ways and inspiring all of us. And it's wonderful to see. Now, you might have a hard time believing this, but I chose today's scripture lesson a couple weeks back. And I didn't change it. And you'll see why I didn't change it in just a couple minutes. And in case you don't believe me, a little bit later when we get to the passage, our staff, I think, unless they betray me, will verify that we read this passage of Scripture on Tuesday afternoon and we reflected on it, and then Wednesday happened. I was standing in the church lobby actually signing some of the Boy Scout certificates that will be given out today, and I was completely oblivious. I was standing there in the lobby with Jeff Bronig, one of our Scout leaders, and I heard the fire truck coming down the road. We both looked up and we saw the truck slow down on Woodruff Road. And then we saw the truck turn in. And I was convinced it was a false alarm. We have a number of those around here. So Jeff and I walked outside and that's when we saw the smoke. Now, I knew that the construction workers had been cutting steel, and I immediately thought that must be what happened. But the fire truck was already here, so I was sure that they would quickly be able to put out whatever fire was causing that smoke and it would all be over. What unfolded over the following 7-8 hours was like a very bad dream. It felt like I was outside of my body watching it on TV, even though I was standing there in the parking lot. 4 fire departments. I think there were 3 ladder trucks. There were 4 heavy, heavy streams of water. And firefighters pumped somewhere between 2 and 3 million gallons of water on our sanctuary. But they still couldn't stop that blaze. I was talking to someone at a wedding reception last night, and he said to me, "You know, my grandfather's funeral was in that sanctuary, and my father's funeral was in that sanctuary. I was married in the sanctuary, and my son was baptized in that sanctuary. So I have a lot of powerful memories in that space. And I know that there are many of you in this room right now who could testify to the same thing. You've had lots of holy experiences. You've felt the Spirit of God move in you. You've experienced life change in that place. You've rejoiced and celebrated with family, church family. It was a sacred space that has been the location for lots of tremendous memories, where we met the triune God and where that God met us in worship. And so it hurts. We grieve. But I got a sense on Thursday night, and those of you who were here with us on Thursday night, I'm sure you would be able to verify the same thing. I got a sense on Thursday night that although we're going to grieve, we're not going to stay there long. Because I felt a spirit in this place on Thursday night. I felt the movement of the Holy Spirit and the power and strength of God in ways that I don't know that I've ever felt before. And I sensed your fortitude. And one of the main reasons that we won't stay in this place of grief for very long is contained in the passage of Scripture that we're about to read from 1 Peter. And again, this passage was already chosen before this week happened. So this is 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. "Come to Him, Jesus, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were predicted to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, you are a living stone. Can you do that for me? You're a living stone. You are a living stone. Not a rolling stone. A living stone. You're just building material. That's what Peter says. You're a living stone. Have you ever been called a living stone before? I've been told that I'm dumb as a rock before, but I've never been called a living stone. No, I've never been called that before today. Before I open up this passage of Scripture from 1 Peter, and Peter tells us, come to Jesus as living stones. And then he says, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a heck of a verse to be reading after the week we've had? Even while our sanctuary was burning on Wednesday, we were saying, every time I turned around, somebody was sticking a camera in my face and they were asking me, what's going through your mind? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? And the only thing I knew to say was, that's not the church. We're the church. That's a building. And it hurts because it's a place that's very special to us. But that's not the church. We are the church. And I told the reporters, the church is still going to gather on Sunday morning. The church is not harmed. The building has burned, but the church is unscathed. And we've been saying all kinds of things like that for the last couple of days. And then we open up this passage from Peter. And it's like Peter is saying, that's exactly right. You're building material. And if you cooperate, if you bring yourselves, if you offer yourselves to Jesus, he will take all of you living stones and start assembling you. Jesus is going to take all of us living stones and start building a spiritual house. Now, do you follow what Peter's saying? He's saying that God is going to take all of you, all of us living stones, and God's going to start stacking us up together and make a spiritual house that will be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul's already told us that individually we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And now Peter's saying that all of you temples, all of you living stones, Jesus is going to take us and start building us into this spiritual house. And it's going to be, we're going to be used for God's glory in the world. Yesterday, somebody said to me, you know, If you're going to have a fire, at least all of our holy things were out of the sanctuary. And when he said that to me, I said, yeah, you're right. All the holy things were out because all the people were out. Because, see, that's what makes a space holy, is the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit has promised to dwell not in things, but in people. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, when Moses encounters God in the burning bush? And God speaks to Moses from the burning bush. And one of the first things that God says to Moses is, "Hey, Moses, you need to take your shoes off because you're standing on holy ground." You remember this? Well, that patch of desert where Moses was standing, it was just an ordinary patch of sand. There was nothing special about that dirt. And yet it was holy because God was present there. God was there in that. The thing that made that ground holy was the Holy Spirit. And ever since Jesus, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, has made his home in people. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, all the holy things were out of the sanctuary. All the holy things are here this morning. All these living stones. That's the way Peter puts it. You are living stones, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, into a holy priesthood to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then Peter goes on to say that this spiritual house, the assembling of all of us living stones together, we have a foundation. We have a cornerstone. And Peter says that cornerstone is Jesus. Verse 6 says, "For it stands in Scripture, see, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Now, especially in the ancient world, the cornerstone was incredibly important. Now it's kind of like a ceremonial thing. But in the ancient world, the building practices, the cornerstone was the first stone laid in a building. And usually it was the largest, most solid stone they could find. And it was because it was the first stone set, all of the other stones in a building's walls were set in reference to that cornerstone. So it was incredibly important that the cornerstone was square and level and secured, because every other stone is going to be laid on top of that. And if that one cornerstone is off just a little bit, as the wall goes up, it'll become increasingly unstable until the wall caves in. A cornerstone. And Peter tells us that our cornerstone is Jesus. Jesus is our firm foundation. Jesus is our reference point to keep us in line. And with a foundation like that, we are on solid ground for sure. Christ, our cornerstone, our firm foundation, the base of our spiritual house is Jesus. And we are the building materials. We're the building blocks for this spiritual house that Jesus wants to build. And this spiritual house, according to Peter, has a purpose. This is verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." Our job as living stones, as this building that Christ is constructing, is to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Our job is to continue the ministry of Jesus, reaching and teaching, healing and seeking, blessing. That's our job as this spiritual house. This reminds me of a message that I received on Wednesday night. I received a lot of messages. A whole lot of them I haven't even read yet. But this one, for some reason, stood out, and I read it. And those of you who were here on Thursday night, you've heard it already. But I got this message from our church council chair here at Advent, Jim Tindall. And it went like this. "While our sanctuary burned today, there were families living in safe homes who were no longer homeless, not because of our sanctuary, but because of our church. While our sanctuary burned today, there was work being done preparing for our March Mission Madness projects that will make people all over our community warm, safe, and dry, not because of our sanctuary, but because of our church. While our sanctuary burned today, there were children in Tanzania who went to preschool in a school built by our church. While our sanctuary burned today, there were people who received medical care in a clinic in the far reaches of Tanzania, in a clinic built by our church. While our sanctuary burned, there were people in Cuba and Guatemala, there were people all over Greenville County and all over the state of South Carolina who have been blessed in various ways by our church. And then Thursday morning, the morning after the fire that destroyed our gathering place, a group of women gathered in this room right next door to us, and they packed 188 backpacks full of food for children in 5 elementary schools, not because of our sanctuary, but because of our church. And I would add to that that while our sanctuary burned on Wednesday, there were firefighters who were given food and water and love and respect by our church. While our sanctuary burned on Wednesday, parts of our church extended grace and mercy and love to the construction workers who were sitting on the hill in the yard next door, defeated and deflated. And our church extended them grace. Because we're surely not going to hold any hard feelings. It was an accident, and accidents happen. And there's not a person in this room who wants to be defined by our worst moments. Amen? And so in that moment, while our sanctuary burned, our church was busy extending grace to the people who needed it most in that moment. While our sanctuary burned, this spiritual house, you living stones, were busy proclaiming the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. On Thursday night, after our service, a reporter asked me, "Why did you get emotional when you were talking about all the things that the church was doing while the sanctuary burned?" And I'll be honest, I have no idea what I said in that moment, but that question stuck with me. And I've reflected on that question, and the answer to that question is, I got emotional because I'm so proud of this church. I'm proud of the work we do in sharing the good news of Jesus. I'm proud of the love that we share, the grace we extend. I'm proud of the impact that we make in our community and in our world. I'm proud of the fact that just one day after our sanctuary burned, we gathered in this place, and it was maybe more obvious than it has ever been that this is a spiritual house filled with the Holy Spirit, because I could feel the Holy Spirit all over this place and all over us. It was palpable. And it was powerful. And I'm proud of the ways that this congregation proclaims the mighty acts of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You bunch of living stones, you. As I was reflecting on this passage about us living stones and about Christ, our cornerstone, on which all of us living stones are stacked, I couldn't help but remember that the person writing this was none other than the Apostle Peter. Now, you'll remember when Jesus asked his disciples, hey guys, who do people say that I am? It was Peter who had the right answer. Peter said, well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And in response to that, Jesus said, you're right. You have the true answer. And because you've been blessed with that truth, you are Peter. And the name Peter means rock. And Jesus said, you've been blessed with this truth and you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. Now, sometimes we get confused by that statement. What does Jesus mean that Peter's the rock on which the church will be built? I think what Jesus was saying was that you are Peter, and on the rock of your confession, on the rock of your affirmation that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God, on that I will build my church. And so Jesus says, you got it right, Peter. And that truth is what I'm going to build my church on. And not only that, but you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I've thought a lot about that since Wednesday. Actually, I've thought a lot about that since being with you on Thursday night. Because I could so feel the Holy Spirit in this place, and I could feel the strength of God in you. There was this electricity. There was this fortitude in this place. We are living stones built on the firm foundation of Christ, our cornerstone. In Advent, we know that we are called to proclaim the mighty acts of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And there is nothing, there is not a single thing that is going to stop us from doing that. Yes, our sanctuary burned down, but Christ is our cornerstone. And we're not going to stop doing what Christ has called us to do. You think a little blaze is going to stop us? Not a chance, because you are living stones, we are living stones, and the life-giving breath of God Almighty fills our lungs. And nothing, not even the gates of hell, can prevail against us. Now, if you weren't here on Thursday night, you need to know this. This, for me, is like a sign, sort of like the rainbow after the flood for Noah. This cross was given to Advent by one of the first five charter members. It was given in 1988, and it hung in the original sanctuary until our new sanctuary was built in 2001, and since that point it has hung suspended from the ceiling. And despite the fact that almost the entire roof burned and caved in, this cross remained intact. I don't know if you've seen the videos of the smoke and the water and this cross hanging in the middle of that sanctuary. Hopefully you've seen the pictures of the firefighters who Thursday morning came after the fire was out and they cut this cross down. It's a sign, the cross itself is always a sign of victory. And it wasn't always true, because originally when Jesus hung on this thing, it was a sign of torture and death. It was an instrument of horrible execution. But for us, it's become a symbol of hope and victory. Why? Because God wouldn't let torture and death have the last word. God took Jesus, whose lifeless body was taken down off of a cross, and God raised Him from the dead. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you. So there's nothing that's going to stop us. You're living stones. We're built on Christ, our cornerstone. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, the life giving Spirit of God is alive in you, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Amen.